You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
It's the Cooligans, stupid.
All right, everyone. I have returned from paternity leave.
He's back.
Welcome.
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
That's right. Oh, my God. How I've missed hitting that button.
What's the other buttons you've missed most? What's the power rankings?
Okay, yeah. That's clearly
every time you change a diaper, you're like, someone hit the horn.
That's two. This is a hard three. Boom. Okay, damn. The drama of Christian Polanco's return to the Cooligans,
like Jason Momoa driving through the streets.
Okay, thank you. Look, I mean, there's a lot to say. Obviously, Alexis is not here because he is in
with his child.
Some could say Arsenal is the child of Manchester City. You know what I mean?
His crying baby that he does not know how to soothe.
Which I just remember he sent me some videos that maybe I'll cue it up. But Alexis sent me some videos from England that we'll play a little bit later. Okay. Because Alexis is in Manchester. Obviously, CBS sent him to watch a bloodbath at the Etihad.
His one final wish, his make a wish, to one day see Arsenal in person, and CBS made it
right.
A young child's dreams.
Look,
come
I want to see Arsenal get destroyed, but I need Charlie Davies next to me. Okay, that was his one request.
Listen, Charlie, I've known Charlie for a while. One thing is, he's always down.
So subbing in, who you've been a wonderful substitute the last couple of weeks, David Goss of Major League Soccer and of Extra Time.
And I accept my role. I think that's why I've been successful. I don't need to be a full-time starter, right?
Like, okay.
I find the gaps. I sit on the bench. I watch the game for a while. I do my little warm-ups, maybe eat a hot dog, and then I hit the gaps quickly, late goal, and then I'm back out.
Okay, you're sounding like RJ Barrett right now. Whoa. Bro, let's go.
Oh, Alexander Barrett Jr.
Okay, we got to put his full government out there because the New York Knickerbockers, I know this is a show about soccer, football, whatever you want to call it.
It's about culture.
Exactly, all right? Because that's what the New York Knicks, being absent from the playoffs for so long and not winning one in, not winning a series in a decade, it's really has hurt the basketball culture in this country.
And you could say even larger than that, than the culture.
Right. There's just, there was truly an age, like once we got, once Side Talk came about, which is, there was an era of social media that the Knicks didn't get to participate in.
Only as a meme.
Without a doubt, because all the other teams, and, not one, not two, and the whole thing.
Yeah.
Miami has had it. Everywhere LeBron goes.
The Mavericks won NBA championship. They don't even matter.
Okay? This is not canon, bro. This is not how it should go. So having the Knicks be successful, and look, I know I was watching Extra Time on Apple TV.
Boom.
And the first couple minutes were dedicated to, you.
I got to deal with the little troll off to my left.
Screaming about the Knicks and either people not understanding why you're so happy. And then we have Matt Doyle, the greatest hater in the NBA.
Hater. Comes in after the Knicks win game one. He goes, I just think the Cavs are better. Cavs win six. Okay, Mr. Analyst, you give me 19,000 words about why Nashville's better than you think they are, but the Cavs are just better.
Right. He can put like a nice little log line about why the Knicks will fail.
Yeah.
But
that's it.
But no real insight.
That's it.
It's all just vibes.
Because it was fake. Because it was fake. It was never real.
So we're happy for the Knicks. I'm wearing my Knicks colors right now.
Yeah, convenient for you.
Let's go.
I got a Knicks hat on.
But the but this is a show about soccer, so we got to start.
Well, can we just say one thing before we go there?
Go for it.
I hate Miami.
Wow.
Yeah. That was directed at you.
At me.
And that was directed at anyone who lives in and around the Miami area. I hate the Miami Heat, and I hate Miami.
Okay, so this is an interesting aspect because our producer, Miguelito, is from New York.
I know. I'm a traitor.
I'm sorry.
But a Miami Heat fan.
I'm a traitor.
Which is a strange.
Did you snowbird as a child?
I didn't. It's crazy. I just love Dwayne Wade. I used to play with the Miami Heat on like NBA 2K Live or whatever it was like back in the day.
Where in New York are you from?
I'm from like Westchester.
Oh. You said New York. Sorry. I got confused.
That doesn't count.
That's my bad.
I don't count as
I didn't realize we were in Fairfield County here.
We're not claiming y'all anymore. Yeah. Okay? Westchester Knicks, you ain't even real Knicks.
No, bro. Yeah. That's a satellite team. That's like a CFG situation. They put them in a foreign country just so they can recruit.
So, obviously, we're on the, this is Meadowlark Media. It's the Levitard show. Levitard and Friends Network, but so we know the strong support the Miami Heat are gonna have, especially in this upcoming series.
They're gonna need it too because they're gonna lose.
That's right. That's
they're gonna need to be carried through.
Okay, that's the hard hitting analysis that we bring David Gossin for.
And for anyone who has ever sat around, watching an Instagram video or looking on Twitter or whatever, and been like, sometimes I miss the 90s. You're back, baby. Welcome back. These games are going to be 82-80, rock fights, blood. Everything's going to be happening. Mariah Carey's going to sing the national anthem for every single game. The 90s are back. Feel robust, feel strong.
That's right. Okay. Thank you. Hopefully Bill Clinton comes back as president. He was the best president we've ever had.
Joe Biden's still around, so we're good.
Okay.
We got connectivity.
All right,
you can talk about soccer.
We have to go over the fact that we have to talk about Manchester City and Arsenal and just react to that real quick because that game happened yesterday. And like I said, Alexis is I think he's flying back from Manchester probably right now.
Arsenal's paying for a private jet to get him out of the country. Could he have brought any worse luck
to
them?
So, shouts to CBS because they really did. It was a very nice surprise and a very nice thing to fly Alexis and Charlie Davies, and it was Charlie Davies' first ever Arsenal game, which is already
wild.
Wild, yeah. I mean, he was busy being a professional footballer.
It's hard to go to games on the weekend when you're also playing on the weekend.
Damn, I got a Revs game. Damn, yeah. I really wanted to watch Arsenal. It was a very important game. Obviously, the Premier League title is at stake, and. My initial reaction watching this game was just Arsenal were just so poor. It is Manchester City, but other teams in the Premier League have given Manchester City a tougher time than Arsenal did. Arsenal couldn't. They could barely connect passes. They really weren't any ideas, and you could really sense it. A team that earlier in the season, especially I think Arsenal were second or third in. Coming back from losing positions. Yeah. And
they did it 4 days ago.
Right. Well, I forgot which game it was, but there was one game where Arsenal gave up an early goal and Odegaard was just like, all right, everybody, forget it. Yeah. Let's just keep going. And they ended up winning that game. And this didn't feel like one of those games. There is a lack of camaraderie that we saw earlier in the season with Arsenal that made everyone believe like, oh, they're really going to do this. They're going to win this league because they gave Odegaard the captain's armband. They just felt like a new, kind of Arsenal. And Manchester City really slapped them right back into reality because I was making this comparison. They looked like it would look like an FA Cup match with a Premier League team against a Championship side.
Welcome to Arsenal instead of welcome to Wrexham. Yeah.
Okay. Those young upstarts. Yeah. Arsenal Football Club.
In fairness, they are young. Like, this is a young team. You mentioned Odegaard as captain. Like, they brought Xhaka back into the team, I think, because they understood this moment. But a lot of the essential pieces of this team are new to this moment.
Yeah.
And you're not playing in Champions League, so you don't really bring that high-level experience currently. And I think you look at a team... I would say the best way to describe the ideas of how they were going to get a result in Manchester was just by hanging on. And you never want to start a match there. Like, right. When you start a match being like, can we get to the corner flag and get 90 minutes out of the way? It's just not a positive mental way to go through a match. And I think because of what's happened over the last few weeks, they were in this spot of like, we don't feel like we can take it to them. We don't feel like we can open up and attack them. I look at this Arsenal team. I think they're very thin. They've been lucky with injuries, which I think is why they've been able to maintain where they are. But they don't play a ton of players. And like, it's a long season. Yeah. It is. I saw a graphic that came out. I think Premier League teams play the second most games on average over the course of a season for any top division in the world behind Brazil, because Brazil has like 37 tournaments, which is insane. You got to play a town, state, governor, everything. They're playing the Wallbounds Cup out on Long Island.
The state legislature cup.
Yeah, exactly. They're still playing Memorial Day, come in for the tournament. And then it's the EPL, because you've got Leagues Cup, you've got multiple European competitions teams can be in, you've got obviously FA Cup as well. So I do think you're looking at an Arsenal team that I think ran out of steam. At the same time, you look at a City team that has brought in a few pieces over the last few years that has hit their top form now.
Right.
So it's like the two directions
are
opposite. The hope to me, just as a neutral who's like, would love to not see Man City win again. Like, let's do something new.
Of course, That we like, just so we don't want to see Bayern win again. Yeah.
So your hope was that the one-on-one matchup, when it became not, we're dropping points in the league, we're watching them on the standings, we're watching the scoreboard. One-on-one was like, we're going to stand up and be counted now and like counter their punches and like we're going to get the result in Manchester and then figure it out from there. But that early goal sort of put that all away.
Yeah, they just, a lot of people were saying, Alexis had mentioned like about, everybody was like covering for Rob Holding. And it's like, bro, they were all bad. They were covering. They all had to support each other. They were
Alexis
all
just pointing out Rob Holding, who also scored the only goal.
It's just like he had to mark. Do you also know he had to mark Erling Haaland, right? Okay, so anybody would worry about which defender was marking Erling Haaland, and Erling Haaland was just spectacular. He only scored one goal. He got, I believe he got one assist. Yeah. But I mean, the shots, if Ramsdale doesn't have one of the games of his life, this could have been a 7-0, like, Liverpool, Manchester United.
The chance Haaland, like, picks up at midfield, starts running,
goes
35 yards, and I don't remember who was defending it. They couldn't decide left or right. Like, they didn't know which way to send him.
Yeah.
And he's moving so quickly, and he's so big that you can't just bump him, because you're probably not going to get him off the ball. And you don't have enough time to make the decision you want to make.
Yeah.
And so then Haaland's like, I'll just go left and like rip a shot to the low corner that Ramsdale saved. And it was one of those moments, like you said, where we've seen it. We saw like Barcelona do this to Real Madrid back in the day under Pep, the Jose Mourinho teams. We've seen Man City do this to Man U a couple times of like, you can feel the 7 goals in a game where you're like, they're going to score on everything. And I guess, as you said, Rams all held it together.
I want to play this. We'll end this, this sad saga for Arsenal right here. I want to play. I don't know what Alexis sent. we'll hear it live right now. I'm curious what he's going to say, but we'll react to it right now. All right.
I mean, you guys saw what happened, okay? You're probably wondering, where am I? Your boy's on a train to London. Why? Because me and this guy, we gonna drown our sorrows, baby. Congratulations, Manchester City. Enjoy your 55th trophy. Oh, wait, I'm not at work anymore.
All right, there he is, just beating up Charlie Davies. We love to see it.
I will tell you, drowning sorrows with Charlie Davies, that's going to be a lot of expensive red wines. Charlie has a particular taste. I assume London's a good place to celebrate that.
I agree, yeah. All right, look, I feel for Arsenal fans. I feel for Alexis and Charlie, but...
But your team's about to get relegated, so you don't feel bad. Right?
There's not too much sympathy. I believe... with the I forgot what loss with Nottingham Forest with their win that confirms that Arsenal will be in Champions League.
Oh, really?
Next season. Nice. So that which is essentially which is what Arsenal fans wanted. I think winning a trophy would have been the like, oh wow, this is you know, we didn't expect this at
it
all.
It would have been early in the process of like, we're getting better. Mikel Arteta has been here, young players, whatever. I think this year would have been a year early, but at the same time, you don't get in these situations a lot, right?
Yeah.
And like, how often does Chelsea spend $700 million to be terrible? How often does Tottenham fire their manager? I guess all of those things happen a lot. Exactly.
Okay. I mean, look, we've seen this script before, and that was like 8 weeks ago. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, they just keep rehashing the same story. I don't know why. I understand. Look, I think now that since Premier League, just the money is so high, and you know what position you finish in depend will it could be an extra 4 or 5 million pounds or whatever. The leash is so unbelievably short for a man. You're not there to like figure it out.
That's not like.
Maybe 20 years ago, that was like kind of how it was.
So Alex Ferguson gets hired, does nothing for 10 years, ends as the greatest manager in history.
It is just straight up. You better, you know, it's an incredible level of gambling. I mean, it's just so much at stake that you can't. I mean, look at, I mean, we mentioned Chelsea, but they're going through managers. It's just like, If somebody just slightly words an email wrong to Todd Bowley, it's just like, wow, we gotta get rid of this guy. That's it. We're done.
I know six more people who could do this job. Let's bring one of them in.
And they're each gonna have an opportunity to coach this team. So it was a wild year, obviously, so far in the Premier League. But who knows? Maybe Manchester City could collapse, and they have those two games in hand.
Yeah. Do you think they win the treble?
It looks like it. Yeah,
you think so?
Yeah, they look like definitively the best team in the world.
Okay, so I still think Real Madrid in Champions League's different, and you could come out and be the best team for 99% of those two games and lose 5-1 to them.
Right. Well, this is the perfect transition.
They're the last bulwark.
This is the perfect transition because we have to talk about Real Madrid. Thank you so much for bringing that up.
I didn't even know the rundown.
Because Real Madrid, I don't know if you know this, David Gaz, they play in La Liga, okay? And they got humiliated.
That's in Spanish?
Yeah. I speak fluently. Yeah. I don't know if you noticed.
What does that stand for?
Sadly, it just means the league, which is, they could have been a little bit more creative.
No, you don't have to. If you do it in Spanish, you don't have to.
Exactly. Right. So Real Madrid, they lost 4-2 to Girona. Okay. Ooh. I'm speaking like my colonizers right now. But they lost 4-2 to Girona. But they gave up four goals to the same guy, to a Major League Soccer player currently on loan from New York City Football Club, Valentin Tati Castellanos scored, put the four spot.
Oh, I like that. I like the celebration.
It's more like one
is
of
it?
These.
No, I thought it was cover the mouth.
I don't think he covers.
He doesn't cover the mouth. I thought he goes full hand.
He does like.
You do it better.
Like
than
a double Dybala. You know what I mean?
Oh, really? No, it's this on the top.
No, we got. Oh, wait. We'll confirm. We'll confirm.
Has he celebrated a goal in a while? Is there a way for us to find it?
Because I think his. What was it? His Twitter account.
Tati?
What is it? Valentica.
Also, I do remember, I think it was MLS's back. We did a video together where we did a watch log. See? The top hand, I was right.
Top
hand. Bottom hand, you were right.
And then he does one of these. So.
I knew it was like the full salute.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
We did like an MLS's back watch along with an NYCFC game. And I think Alexis said Tati's full name like 300 times. It was like his favorite thing. He's like, well, when you talk about Tati Castellanos, just over and over again.
Look, I mean, look, we work with Tati filming some stuff with NYCFC.
Yeah, how's it feel to watch that?
Honestly, look, Mike had texted. He was like, "Oh, during for the first goal, he was like, yo, Tati just scored in Real Madrid.'" And I'm like, "Oh, cool." Then I go look at the game. I'm like, "Bro, I told him like he just scored a third. What? I'm like, what is just this one goal that you're talking about?" It was, I've never watched a Hirona game in my life before Tati got there. There's a certain level of pride. Obviously, mm-hmm. He's loaned, but he's not coming back.
Oh, you don't think he's gonna play in MLS after this?
I think he's pretty much kind of solidified.
You don't think he's gonna go up to Montreal next week and put one down on Stade Saputo?
All right, you know, because there's gonna be a $300 million offer from Todd Boehly real soon.
Yeah, seriously.
But no, you know, even before he went to Hirona, there was interest, I heard, from West Ham. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of people were like, oh, no, Tati Castellanos, he can't play in the Premier League. And he's just
ridiculous.
Not there yet. And this has been an interesting thing, because I was like, obviously, you know, when he scored the fourth goal, the Soccer Cooligans Twitter account became a Tati stan account, right? And that's just how it is.
Yeah.
And then there was, a couple of Real Madrid fans that were like, oh man, he just got lucky. Real Madrid, they're like, this is not their strongest roster. They're focusing on Champions League. La Liga is basically done. For anybody to score four goals, I don't even care.
It's the first time since 1949.
To 47.
1947. So just to be clear, Tati's the first person to get lucky in 75 years. That's you know? What happened.
Okay, I've seen comets more than I've seen people do this, okay? I think if this isn't an MLS player that does this, nobody's saying it's lucky. Nobody's saying it's just some fluke. The goals were all incredible. This dude was cooking Eder Militao in a way that I've never really seen.
Militao, Rudiger, Carvajal, Nacho was the starting back four.
Yeah.
Cruz, Modric, and Valverde was the midfield.
I think there was a lot of just like assuming, oh, this team is not going to really be able to do anything to us. And I've watched a couple of Hirona matches. They look pretty good, and they play like obviously much faster than NYCFC play, but they have been pretty competitive in La Liga. And like, look at teams like Valencia that mm-hmm. are like struggling right now in La Liga, might be relegated.
Yeah, and they have some big players, and there's big expectations.
Right.
Yeah.
Hirona has just like found a way to like have their place in the middle of the table, but Tati has like adjusted really well, and he's been flip-flopping between strikers, him and Stuani.
Yeah, Christian Stuani.
Who's like 40.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I feel like, dude, I remember you. There was like, I think it was an 8-bit FIFA I was playing with you. Yeah,
I think he was in the 02 FIFA World Cup game.
Millsboro legend, Christian Stuani.
Right. Yeah. But Tati has looked good, and he looked really, really good in this game. He got subbed off in like the 70th minute or something like that. But what did you think of just not only the performance, but like the fact that it is, you know, he's currently an MLS player and doing something like
this. Yeah, true. I actually hadn't thought of it that way.
Yeah.
I think for me, you said like you feel good for him. He was a really good part of this league. I thought he handled all the transfer stuff really well, of like stayed with NYCFC, committed, played well. Like we see Brenner. One team mentions him, and Brenner's like, oh, sorry, I lost my phone. I don't know. Where do we train?
My ankles don't work. Yeah. I don't know.
I hurt my back. Where? My back. Yeah. So.
What are all these questions? You're violating some HIPAA violation.
Yeah. He is in Ohio, so he's doing whatever he's going to do. But we never had that from Tati, right?
No.
And he stayed committed, and I think he stayed in the team at times that, you know, sold a bunch of players, moved players, and he was a consistent piece.
Was I telling you this when I had gone to the MLS Cup celebration at City Hall for NYCFC, and Tati, he gave a speech, but his speech was like,
goodbye.
Yeah, it was an honor playing for you guys, because it was just like, I am certainly not going to be back.
And then he came
back. And then he's like, all right, I'm playing CCL and all this stuff. So,
and he played, but he played well in those moments. And so often, even if the quality of the player exists, if the mentality's not there, if they're not locked in, they're not doing the little things of like watching tape and learning their teammates' tendencies, it doesn't matter. He was never that person. So I feel good for him. I'm a little stoked because I was, you know, for a year talking about this, and I kept saying I thought he was beyond capable of this. And like four goals against Real Madrid, that's a little different. But I felt like when you watched his game, he would fit in really well because he's physical, because he's a grinder. And so like if Tati goes on the field for West Ham and let's say skill wise, which is not true, he's not there, I think he would still have an effect on the game because he's such a force.
Yeah, and even the third goal, there was a, if you listen to the English broadcast, it was on ESPN ESPN Plus, and if you hear the announcers react to every goal.
I did not hear this.
If you hear the announcement, they're like, whoa. They're like, what? they're like, it's almost like they didn't do the research on who he was.
Right.
And to know that he's 100% capable of that. But the third goal especially was the one, because Tati is, I'm taller than Tati.
Yeah.
But he
flies.
Yeah. And he's physically like sturdier than you think. Mm-hmm. And there was that one. It was a long ball, mm-hmm. and he played like early Haaland, kind of shielding the ball.
I was going to say that was a professional striker's finish, right? Yeah. Hold off the defender, right foot, right into the goal.
And it seems like he would be a guy that would, especially being Argentinian, like fall down, bro, fall down. You know your instinct, but you know your ways.
Yeah, right.
But no, the dude is a baller, and it's just this moment for him. Not only is he obviously huge and you know, kind of like you're in the record books now, but now it is a, I don't see him playing for Girona next season.
Zero chance.
It's like
I think the number, the West Ham stuff we heard, I think the number City Football Group, whatever we're talking about now, it was like 20 million.
Yeah. They were offering 12, I heard.
Yeah.
And they were like, nah, we're not going
to
sell him for that.
I think he'll get up to that point where now he's proven he can do it in Europe. One, I think it's easy to sell to your fans. Guy scored 4 against Real Madrid, scored goals like in 2-3 leagues now around the world. I think you kind of have the cover to be like, this is the guy. And as I said, I think he's a worthwhile buy because I think when you look at a lot of these teams, they don't always have, okay, this is where everyone fits in, right? Even look at Man City. They buy like 18 center backs, play them at fullback, 18 wingers, play them at center forward.
Right.
Tati's flexible. He could play 2 or 3 different roles. Like, it's worth bringing him in early in the window as other pieces come together for a club that is bouncing up into the Premier League, for a team in Germany that might be entering into Champions League and have a little bit of money. Like, you could see the stratosphere of where he fits in, probably like something like a Seb Haller conversation, right? Of like Dortmund, West Ham, Ajax, like those teams. And you could see Tati be good at all of them.
I need him at Everton, bro. I need him at home. I honestly think that would be such a great fit.
You probably should have been sending me when it was cheaper. You should have told them.
But that would be great. I'm very, very happy
for
him.
How many friends do you have that have scored against Real Madrid? Would you count him as a friend?
I mean, why not? I mean, we have, we did content together. We celebrated winning MLS Cup. I was at the team party and stuff like that. So, I need a godfather for my kid, so so I guess
there you go.
It's all set. No, I'm a huge fan of him, and not only, especially in his time in MLS, I think what I loved is just how saucy of a player he is. He's obviously a great goal scorer, but he has a bunch of incredible highlights. I mean, really the Rabonas that he would throw in from time to time, the nutmeg on Michael Bradley. You remember that one? One where he had a great touch. He's like a ball went up in the air. He took a great first touch and dropped it right in front of him. And then Michael Bradley's coming in. This is at City Field. And
General Bradley charging down the field.
He just gently taps the ball in between his legs as Michael Bradley's running through. And then he Rabonas it to Talis Magno, bro. The guy is vicious. Yeah. And I want more people to be just aware of, you know, the Argentinian dog this guy has in him, bro. But no, I think... real Asado. Soon he's stays in La Liga, I don't know, but he's gonna get a lot of interest and go to it some other club because I don't think he's staying in he don't have much longer. I want to move on next to CCL and we'll talk some US Open Cup as well, because yesterday we'll start with CCL. The matchup between LAFC and Philadelphia Union. This match is at Subaru Park. Philadelphia Union score first. We get a late goal from LAFC. So just a nice just repeat.
Yeah.
Okay, the ghost of Gareth Bale
was
there.
There's only one script. Very much the ghost, because Gareth Bale at 9 p.m. Eastern time.
No.
In April, he's not showing up for that game.
But a good game, and I think as a neutral, and even though we do have a lot of love, the Philadelphia Union are Cooligans fans. And we're a fan of them as well, except when they play in NYCFC. They know how it is. They get it. Look, I mean, they sent us their kit. You see it back there in the box right there.
I don't even get a kit. I'm not an NYCFC fan. Come on, Philly.
Okay, the Union hate extra time. They love the Cooligans.
Clearly. I'm dead on the field after the Eastern Conference Championship game last year, and you two were there. I'm like, you guys lost? And you're like, oh, we're just going to congratulate Jim Curtin. Oh, okay, cool. I'm friends with Jim Curtin.
Well, Jim Curtin is genuinely a friend. He was like.
So if he scored against Real Madrid, then you'd be like.
Yeah, we're very supportive of that. But, you know, Jim Curtin is like, when I got married, he like texted me congratulations and stuff like that. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, my life has gone very. I didn't expect to be here. Anyway.
Maybe he did not. Well, you never know.
What do you think of this game overall? I love that this is the. My main thing is like the fact that we're getting CCL matchups between MLS mm-hmm. teams and it's like a big ticket.
Yeah,
it feels very different than when we first started this show in 2015. CCL was like, please give me a scrap of a point or
Montreal an aggregate trying to tie to a tie. Yeah,
you know, and now it's feeling and maybe this is a bigger picture conversation because it was always which Liga MX team is going to win it, and now all of a sudden it's feeling like how far can these Liga MX teams even get in this competition?
Yeah, and this one, so you've got MLS on one side, Liga MX on the other side of the semifinal, so you're guaranteed that final, which I am excited about. But what has also changed is, like, you could see both these MLS teams winning it, where in the past it would be, like, as a neutral MLS fan, you'd be like, why don't we, like, let TFC win? Because, like, come on, you guys can't really beat Tigres, so, let's do it this way. But Philly and LAFC both have the capability of doing it. As you said, like, this was a 9 p.m. local time kickoff on a Wednesday night, which is absurd.
Yeah.
And it was packed and it was electric. And the energy in that building was exactly what I thought it would be because we were there for that Eastern Conference Finals last year. And like Philly bounces. When Phillies fail,
100%,
and when they dupe, it's like a vibe.
I had never been. I've been to a couple Union matches at Subaru Park, but this was that game, that playoff game against NYCFC was I actually felt intimidated as a fan. Yeah. I mean, and not because I'm like fearful or anything. It was just like the energy is just I think for the a long stretch where Philadelphia Union were just like we really weren't getting that many fans there and all this other stuff, and then when I was at that game it felt like Philadelphia Union are the most important team in Philadelphia, even though it's like you would have to like convince a lot of people that there's a soccer team that exists.
I think that NYC game was the same week as the Phillies World Series.
Right.
The Eagles were heading to the Super Bowl, whatever was going on. It was
week. I was proud to see an MLS team that did struggle to get fans in the seats and now have this like just sweltering kind of a support, rabid fan, like the Eagles fans that, you know, they stopped throwing the batteries and they and they started going to a soccer game. I think one of the things that I don't know if you don't hear enough stories or if you don't really capture it because like seeing the fans at Subaru Park, but they're. They're assholes. I mean, there's no other way to put it. They're mean, but they're not like but just like any Philly sports fan. But it's like there's something about the way soccer fans in America are always generally pretty nice.
Yeah.
Like you can go on pretty much anywhere, and Philly's like still the one where like you can't just be an opposing fan and nobody's guy really gonna hug you about
it. They really restrict the away section there.
Yeah, totally, totally.
Oh, you can't use the bathrooms in the other part of the stadium. Like you guys are here and it's like feels overdone. And then you're like, it's Philly. You're right.
I kind of love it because I've been to a lot of MLS matches and especially as an NYCFC fan, I like the, It's not about safety, but yeah. I like that they're not always
clear
polite.
Lines. I've
been to plenty of the stadium, Austin. I've been to where everybody's like, "Hey, cool, thanks for coming and supporting your team out here."
But applause to you,
well done
for cheering for your team.
Because some of the new expansion franchises are still they're like, "Hey, we have soccer in our city. This is like really nice." But Philly is like, "Nah, we've been here a bit." And we don't like that you're here right now.
And the other thing that's funny, because that experience you had last year, I had 2 years ago because I went to the opening playoff game. They played the Red Bulls. So it was like they won Supporters Shield, but it was COVID. So the stadium wasn't filled. Mm-hmm. Then the next year they come back and they host Red Bulls in the first round. That's when Glesnes scored like 120-minute crazy goal. What I found really fun about it is MLS has changed a lot, but I think we still have the perception of like you're a soccer fan. You're an MLS fan. The fans at Philly are like, they're talking about Temple football, Sixers basketball, and the Union. Like, they're another team in a sports crazy city.
It's beautiful.
And you don't expect it was just like a bunch of, Philly bros, cheesesteaks, hoodies on, Carhartt everywhere.
They
like,
know their stuff.
Let's go, Union. Like, where's Paxton Aronson? Put him on the field. You're like, whoa, dude, these guys are Brandon Craig fans? What is happening?
They love it, man. It's great to see. But this game, disappointing, obviously, to give up the home, the away goal or whatever.
And I would say even more disappointing not to have scored a second. Like, they played well enough, I thought, through the second half to have been up 2-0. And then you give up a goal and you would have been upset because you gave up an away goal. But you would have been ahead. And I thought that Philly was going to try and send a message of, like, MLS Cup was a mistake. It was a fluke. That wasn't real. Like, we're better than you. And getting LAFC at home, I thought they were going to be able to show that. They're a cohesive team, right? Like, I don't have a ton of new pieces. They're a group that knows each other. And I just felt like in the final third, the decision-making was a little bit off of, like, when to shoot, when to pass. Ure turned his man a couple times. He normally finds Carranza in that spot. He didn't. And so I thought Philly let an opportunity go in that. But at the same time, wouldn't be shocked if they went to Bank of California, or sorry, BMO.
BMO. Bank of Montreal.
BMO. Yeah, Bank of Montreal. BMO Stadium.
Right.
Not BMO Field. And they got the result because as much as you did say, like, it has changed that CCL between two MLS teams, big ticket, big energy, you'd still trust Philly to get a result in LA better than getting a result in Monterrey or Guadalajara or León. So it's still out there for them to do it.
Totally, yeah. And I do like the... I think that one of the main things with the way the Philadelphia Union have started this season, I feel like the CCL was just always on their mind, right? Like, they just didn't have that chemistry that I think they should have already had by now and in this game.
Yeah.
But it was nice what they scored, six on the weekend?
Four. Against Toronto.
Right, against Toronto. So I think that...
It was four in like 25 minutes. That's why it felt like six.
Yeah, the first goal that like pinged around and ended up bouncing.
It was an own goal of the craziest.
It was just, I feel like...
I feel like Sean John's watching this, looking at that jersey saying, things have been better.
I mean, we were talking about this before when Sean Johnson, announced that he was leaving, and there was a little bit like, oh, I understand, you're going to go get paid.
Yeah,
but
like,
bro, there's no way you could think this is a better situation than what you're currently in. But it is what it is. Okay. But the goal that Philadelphia Union did give up, it felt as silly as that Toronto goal a little bit, right? Because Jack Elliott tries to clear. This is like the 91st minute. It bounces off of who?
Teammate, I don't know who it was, if it was Leon Flock or Kai Wagner, someone in front of him.
Yeah, and bounce and just and lands perfectly to I don't know if it was Kellen that
made the first pass. I'm really going through these.
No, this is
I'm
great.
Working on it.
But the fact that it ends up reaching Kellen Acosta,
yes, absurd.
And I love goals like this because I love goals that it bounced on the ground first, so it's even you could see Andre Blake. At the end, kind of almost in the same feeling, the same thing he felt at the MLS
Which
Cup
is
final.
Tough, yeah,
just like couldn't hold on,
couldn't believe. Andre Blake's one of those people where it's like, I know I have all this covered. If you put it here off of balance, I can't get there. Everything else I got, and when it goes in, you can see the like he hit it off the balance into that top corner. Just
remarkable.
Yeah. And for anyone who didn't watch, Kellen gave up the penalty mm-hmm. like 5 minutes before that when it looked like they might steal a 0-0. And I don't really blame Kellen on the penalty. It's a pretty close range shot. He raises his arm, but he pretends that it hit him in the head whole time after to be like, you know, he stumbles by the ref. He's like, oh man, my head.
He should have done. You know how like in WWE they had the little razor.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my, look at all this blood.
Ketchup packets. Yeah. Oh no, I got all this Heinz on my head.
Yeah. Looking like Ric Flair, bro. Yeah.
It was, and Kellen. What I love about that is Kellen, I think, has learned that space better than anyone. If you remember Nations League final or Gold Cup final, I can't remember now. It was Guardado took the penalty. Mm-hmm. Kellen's the one who was scuffing the spot.
Yes, yes, yes.
He's in Guardado's ear the whole time. Like Kellen has brought all of this into his soul.
Yeah, yeah. He is full.
He's
full
CONCACAF.
CONCACAF. Yeah. He knows. He sat in your seat. He was here a couple months ago, and we spoke to him a little bit about that. But
he was
no.
probably dressed nicer than me. He's a stylish guy.
Very much so. But yeah, he is. One thing I didn't get a chance to talk to him about, which we just didn't have that much time with him because he had just like gotten off the plane from Qatar.
Yeah. He had to go win a World Cup.
But he had he has an interesting sort of career path where he was like he's like a guy who's like almost like stuck in MLS, right? Remember he had tweeted out a couple years ago when he was like, I think leaving Colorado, like. Basically,
going,
like the team lied to me, and they promised
I'm going
that
to England,
and they never panned out. But I feel like this move to LAFC has really, really worked out, and I don't really see any big reason why he would want to leave, unless it's like obviously for big money.
And I think what happened out of the Colorado stuff was the offers weren't there that he had hoped would be there, and team's not going to give you away for free. Like you have to get an offer to come in. But yeah, his career is interesting also because he came through at Dallas. And he was supposed to be like a national team guy. And it didn't actually pan out for him throughout that time that well. And that's when the Colorado move happened of like, we kind of need to restart your career. And there isn't a huge track record of that working for guys. Normally, it doesn't restart. And then they go from Colorado to Cincinnati and then to St. Louis. And then to Portland, you know. And like, that's kind of the end of it. And there's a few examples of this. Austin Trusty's obviously one as well. We thought from Philly he'd go big. Went to Colorado instead. Now he's doing his thing in Europe. And then when you look at LAFC, I do think you were looking at there are a select few MLS clubs that feel bigger than other MLS teams. And so I think when you have these guys now, like a Kellen, who rather than just say MLS or Europe, there's a hierarchy of where do I actually want to be? And we saw with Rusnak going to Seattle, I think.
Yeah.
Rusnak was, you know, he's a Slovakian international. Like he could play in Europe if he wanted to. Mm-hmm. And he was like, 38,000 people come to every game in Seattle. They're going to contend for Champions League. They're going to contend for trophies. Like, that's the move I want to make. And Kellen's a pretty cool example of that as well. And I agree with you. Like, if you're LAFC and Kellen, why don't you just say, like, wear the captain's armband for the next 5 years? Like, you're the guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Cifuentes will move. Opoku will leave. We'll bring in new guys, whatever. But you're the one that it's built around.
And look, I am very happy for Kellen Acosta because, I mean, his career has worked out pretty well. Yeah, you did say he's cool, but I would also say he's actually quite chill. Just like our sponsor, Coors Light today. All right. chill, it doesn't just happen. Obviously, you need to, like, relax, wind down from time to time. There are certain things in life where you have to, like, develop a routine. It doesn't just happen, randomly. You have to decide. Yeah. Like, this is the time I need.
Like, Mateo wakes up and he's like, I need a Coors Light.
I mean, in a couple of years, But but Coors Light, obviously, you know, one of the main things that we always talk about it ad nauseum on this show is clearly the mountains, the blue mountains. When you if you want to be as cool as Kellen Acosta, you know, when you're cool enough, when you're chill enough, is when those blue mountains show up on the side of the can.
Do you guys have a chill sound effect?
We don't.
We should get one.
How would you do that?
How would
Yeah, I think that is what it would be. It's just the crack of the can.
We don't even need a sound effect. I'll just go. Psh.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll hit this button, and then you'll know Mike, to make the noise.
Mike is gonna be the police academy dude. What's his name? So when you choose to chill, pair your plans with an ice cold Coors Light. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/Cooligans. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Oh.
Can I give you a little free ad in here?
Go for it.
Last Friday, I had a long week. I had potentially left my credit card at a bar in a responsible way. I came back, Arsenal Southampton's on, and I had just done the show, and I was like, I'll take a Coors Light. And you sit down, and it really disconnected me from the week to the weekend. Arsenal came back, which was fun to watch, and then I went into the weekend.
Look at that.
Yeah, boom.
Boom.
What a beautiful story.
Yeah.
Thank you. And it works perfectly with, you know, the sponsor. Thank you so much for including that.
Didn't even realize that was going to happen. Yeah.
Okay.
Also, I'll take that check out.
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right. I want to talk about Major League Soccer, and we'll do a little bit of a preview of this coming weekend's matches. I want to start with this because... David Beckham happened, you know, to show up on PSG's Twitter feed.
Yeah. Popeye's old team.
Okay. Went by to say hello to some folks, but he is here pictured with Marco Verratti and Lionel Messi. And if you look at the comments of the tweet, there's a lot of Inter Miami fans that are like, Good on Bex.
Yeah.
Doing the work.
This part about Miami I like, by the way. When I said I hated all of Miami, I didn't mean Inter Miami getting Messi. I like that part.
That would be supportive. Yeah. Messi's going to come.
And anything DeAndre Yedlin does, I like him too.
Own goals? Okay.
Ooh, wow.
Tough. Damn.
Tough. The U.S. Open Cup. But they won.
Yeah.
But no, Lionel Messi's going to come in. He's going to be like, not one, not two. Ni uno, ni dos, ni tres. Let's go. He wants all the MLS guys.
I will say there's a decent chance Udonis Haslem will also be at that press conference because the guy's 107 years old.
Yeah, Udonis Haslem is just going to go from the Heat bench to the Inter Miami bench. And he's just going to have his hood on.
We have extended rosters in soccer, so there's more space for him.
But no, this is, look, I don't know if this is a sign that this, things are closer. I mean, it would be weird for PSG to bring in the competition of who's going to get Messi to sign an offer.
PSG trying to ride that line of craving attention and David Beckham not losing Messi, but craving attention.
Because you can't not invite him.
No, Bex is coming through France. You're like, bro.
Yeah. All right.
Why don't you swing by?
Okay. Yeah.
I love your tweet, though.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Yes, I did tweet this out.
Contract, Marco Verratti. Fit him in.
I said, watch Beckham come back with Verratti. This would be, if it is happening, it's just that, you know, this doesn't quell any rumors that it's not happening.
No.
It does feel like
it's going to be crazy if it happens and they're bad.
Oh, without a doubt.
Like, not that Messi will be bad, but, like, the team will be bad. And it's just, like, I don't know what that'll do to the world, but it will be fascinating if that happens. I'm not saying it will.
No, I don't think so.
It would be wild.
Is the Busquets stuff still?
I think so.
Yeah. If they both, I don't know if they can get
both. I don't
know
that Busquets is a great signing in MLS right now. Right, he's, like, a very slow center midfielder.
Yeah, he's just very stationary. His heat map is, like, center circle.
His heat map is... You pass to me, and then I'll pass to someone else. I'm not going to go anywhere. But Miami, I don't know, has built a team where it's like they've basically invested in center backs and center forwards.
Okay.
So they are built for Messi to come in and create a bunch of chances and finish. And they're fairly veteran, so they should be, you know, they brought in Kamal Miller now. They've mm-hmm. got a Ukrainian international at center back, DeAndre Yedlin. So, whew, it's a little wild.
Well, I use that to make sure I highlight this. Man. I got a onesie.
Seen anything
here.
More adorable?
This is shout out to our producer Miguelito and Neely, our executive producer, who gave me this onesie for Mateo.
Amazing.
It says, very cute. For everybody listening, it says, "It's about to get messy," and it's spelled. You know how it's okay.
Amazing,
but really, really dope.
That's some great dad humor.
Okay,
just to start off,
I can't wait to put this on him.
Have you thought about fandom and how you're gonna pass it along?
You know, I'm gonna kind of, you know, just, you know, inject my blood into it. Can you do that to babies?
I don't know.
I do think there's probably already a level of your DNA involved. I don't know if you've heard.
I don't know how it all works. Yeah.
The stork normally asks in advance, but I'm not sure this time.
Okay, there must have been some miscommunication somewhere.
Does he have to be Everton and NYCFC and New York?
He doesn't have to. I mean, but I'm going to bring him to, you know, I can't wait to bring him to like an NYCFC game and stuff like that. So I would be surprised and heartbroken if he chose something else, but who knows? Maybe he won't even like the sport at all. I don't know. I mean, it's caused a lot of you know, pain in my life.
Yeah.
Maybe he wants to avoid.
When you show him the video series of the week he was born, Alexis crying in England.
Yeah, sir.
You know, does he want to support a team in League Two in Everton Football Club? I don't know. I don't know if that's what he wants for his life, but
he doesn't live next Portsmouth, man, which only makes you stronger.
So we're gonna have a nice like $300 million stadium playing against Wrexham. All right.
Have you thought of which actor and actress you'd like to take over Everton?
It's an interesting one.
Natalie Portman flips Angel City and takes
What's
over Everton.
What's Julianne Moore up to? Yeah.
That's a good one. She seems steady.
Okay. Great. One of my favorite actresses.
Okay.
She'd be great.
Great.
Look, Everton need a lot of help. We'll figure it out. I mean, we're recording this before Everton's match today against Newcastle.
So before they got relegated.
I'm assuming it did not go well because Newcastle did score 6 against somebody. Tottenham.
I was like, somebody. I thought that you were refusing to know their name. I thought that was on purpose.
They lost so poorly, their name it was stripped
they scored
away.
5 in 27
Literally,
minutes.
Literally, Levy's ripping off the badge off the. off
Maybe
their
he could buy Everton.
I mean, look, Everton they're not short on cash. They have a lot of money. They don't know how to pick any players. I mean,
how to use it.
I mean, it's like a combination of poor leadership and not just the coaching. I think I've heard so many things of just like the kind of executive staff. It's just like there's a lot of the old boys.
Legacy.
Yeah. They're just like, I'm like, they're very, very old people that are involved in making a lot of these decisions. And I think there's been a lot of, complacency. And mm-hmm. it's like, Everton's never been relegated, so therefore they will never be relegated.
You don't have to worry about it.
And now it's just like year after year, that's all fans are worrying about.
Well, if it makes you feel better, I saw that the Everton American fan group said to support the lads and come on, boys. And that will normally fix it.
Yes, so yes.
They're probably good.
Why didn't they do that before? Yeah. We just needed the right tweet. No, look, I mean, it's like bittersweet because Everton, as far as support, especially and in the United States, it's just been remarkable. Every time I go to an Everton friendly that they play in the U.S., like it is like reconnecting with old friends from high school. It's just like so great to see everybody, and it's remarkable how many people support this bad club.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no other way to put it.
Yeah.
It's just like so bad. But and that is a testament to how much they're passionate and how much they support this club that they allow this ridiculousness year in and year out, and they still support the club. So look, I'm hoping for a positive result against Newcastle. That's all. But like we're in 19th place, bro. It is not looking good. All right. Major League Soccer this weekend. Let's look at some of the fixtures coming up. I mean, I don't know what is the exciting fixture that stands out necessarily. I'm happy for LA Galaxy, because I watched your episode with Alexis last week.
Alexis really wanted to talk about it.
LA Galaxy is, you know what? Let's be for real, because you know we're in the sports entertainment business.
Yeah.
LA Galaxy and the nonsense that they're going through gets a lot of attention. So sometimes people are like, "Why are you talking about the Galaxy so much?" Bro, your club needs to start falling apart real quick, and we will talk about you.
You guys should win a lot and then be horrendous at your jobs, and then we'll cover you.
I'm happy for them to get their first win, and for Chicharito and Ricky Puig to have scored in that game. But looking forward, obviously, they're playing against Orlando away.
Who have sucked.
Who has not been great. But I don't know. I don't have any real... I don't have faith that the Galaxy are going to turn everything around. It feels like... I'm not going to say it's an easy game for Orlando, but...
Yeah, I mean, it's two teams stumbling into each other. So I think this is going to be entertaining. They've both struggled to defend. Orlando has struggled to create chances. Orlando went out and signed a couple attackers. And, like, NYCFC have done a good job of, like, bringing players in and having it work quickly. Most MLS teams, it's a struggle to get players to come in from outside of MLS and to like figure out both their life, their teammates, and the league.
Yeah, I want to dedicate a little bit of time right now to talk about, because you mentioned NYCFC bringing in players and adapting well. Richie Ledesma.
Yeah.
Richie Ledesma, who's a former guest of the show. We interviewed him when he was at PSV.
Nice.
And he was about to come back from injury, and just a good kid, you know? He was very, you know, frank about, like, he's like, they speak Dutch. I don't know what's going on, but like, I'm out here just trying to ball, right?
Yeah.
And for you know, him to not, you know, he's been kind of like cast aside. I don't think
you get forgotten.
Yeah, you got forgotten, and you know, obviously played with the U.S. youth national team, and he has a
whole national team.
Does he have a cap?
He has a cap
in a friendly though, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So because he said he's not cap tied.
Ooh.
Because we spoke about this. Yeah, he's not cap tied. But
let's see if I can find it.
But his performances, he's played, I think he has two starts with NYCFC, and he's come off the bench, I believe, twice as well.
He played in a USA game during the COVID time when they were like, the Europeans were there, and
yeah,
he played in a friendly against Panama.
Okay.
Yeah.
I remember
Sebastian Soto.
Yeah, yeah.
Who plays in like the eighth division somewhere in Europe.
But Richie Ledesma has looked great.
Yeah, he has.
When NYCFC season has started off a little bit rocky, and my main concern with NYCFC's lineup was Matias Pellegrini. I just thought, like, this is not the guy that's gonna do what you're asking him to do. He's not that, like, kind of strong of a winger. He's not a 10 exact. Oh, they were trying to kind of find the spot for him, and it just, like, really wasn't working out. But I really love, I'm going to say I love the lineup that they had last weekend, because, you know, Santi at the, like, a false nine, I don't think that's the long-term solution. Bring back Eber. Hashtag I miss him so much.
Eber played in MLS this weekend. Don't worry. You don't have to miss him. You can watch him. He just doesn't play for your team.
But Richie Ledesma at the 10, I think it's just working out really, really well. He looks really good.
No, he looks great. And I think there's the give and pull between him and Keaton Parks, and then Santi dropping in, where there's a lot of moving pieces with NYCFC. That's when they're at their best, though. And I think why Santi worked at the nine was he was comfortable moving out of that position into spots where Talis Magno's not. When Talis Magno comes out of that nine role, he's not comfortable where he picks up the ball. And so he's not effective.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Santi being there showed all six of the attacking players plus the two fullbacks, everyone was in a spot that made them comfortable. They knew where they wanted to be. When Gabby Pereira got the ball, he was quick to shoot, all those things. Credit to NYCFC, by the way, because there are very few MLS teams that would bring an American in to start as a 10 when they have Santi Rodriguez as an option. That's pretty rare. They did it with Keaton Parks, obviously deeper in midfield. And he kind of got the keys to everything the moment he started playing well, which was great as well.
Yeah.
But this is different. There's not really, I mean, look across the league. There aren't senior, like, you know, more established players that are American 10s. There's not really young ones at all. Maybe Brian Gutierrez is the only one right now. And that's because Chicago sucks.
Right.
So, although they're playing well and because of him. So, yeah, no, that's been really cool to see. It's been great to see him healthy. and playing and comfortable. And like I said with Parks, like they now they bring James Sands back. It's a three-man American central midfield.
Yeah.
And it's one of the better ones in MLS when they're all healthy. And it's cool.
They look – and also James Sands, who wore the captain's armband the last, like, I think, two matches. I don't know if you've been seeing his, like, pregame –
speeches?
Speeches.
No, does he still say bing bong every time?
He doesn't.
Oh, by the way, the Knicks are back. Sorry, I forgot about that.
He's not bing bonging, but it's interesting seeing.
He's rallying?
Yeah, you know, I've watched James Sands. I've interviewed James Sands when he was like, you know, 18, 19 years old. And it's just like, look at this. He's growing up. Yeah. He's like really, there's bass in his voice in the locker room, screaming, you know, hyping up his teammates. So it's like, and not only that, I think even on the field, he is showing a different level of leadership. He is objectively a better player than when he left. I don't know what happened in Scotland necessarily, but they're just like every touch is so much more decisive. Yeah. And his passing has been great.
I think he's stronger too, so it's easier for him in midfield. Of
thicker
like,
calves.
Yeah,
right. Came back with thicker calves.
Well, he ate pies, so that's how he mushy peas and pies really grow you up. Obviously you remember, but for anyone who doesn't, he took over the starting role as the six late, like in August or September of 2021, and then started all through MLS Cup. And MLS Cup, I thought, was the best game he played in that whole run. So he like rose to the pressure, rose to the moment, but he did so alongside Alfredo Morales, who did a lot of that work for him. And with him, it was a tandem where this is Parks and Rodriguez ahead of him. And like, he's the guy.
Totally.
And for MLS teams, if you have a legitimate league star, number six, you can win every game and you can win MLS Cup. That's what Portland's done with Diego Chara for 10 years, where like we went through the Portland Mount Rushmore, who would be the four guys, and we couldn't really find a fourth. But because Chara's been there for 10 years, they've been in MLS Cups like every 3 years because he's that good. Obviously, Seattle has done it at times with Ozzie Alonso and then the other pieces they brought in, Giappello, whatever. I'm interested to see what the future is for Sands. I don't think he thinks he's here long term, but you get the captain's armband and you are doing that, and oh, we're going to build a stadium and we're winning and it's New York City. And I don't know where all of that weighs in, but I think when you look at players different from the Kellen conversation, more like the Sebastian Legette conversation or the Paul Areola of like, they have gone overseas.
Becky G's ex.
Becky.
Well, we don't know. I don't know what the status of their
relationship is. But G-Hive right here, right?
Exactly.
We ride for Becky.
We know where we stand.
Yeah,
okay?
We ride for Becky. Although I do have a Sebastian Legette candle in my apartment. It smells great.
So does he.
That's what's based on. It's literally scented Du Bois. So it works. But we've seen players go and it's not great. And they come back and they're like, I like playing, right? I like being in a team. And one of the things that a lot of people don't understand about the ecosystem around MLS is outside of like the big games you watch on TV, there aren't a ton of fans in stadiums in Europe. And like the level is high, but the experience isn't totally. The training centers are not the same. So like your day-to-day life, if you are on the low end of a Ligue 1 or Serie A, is actually not at the same level as a lot of the MLS experiences.
Yeah.
The opportunity to play in Champions League is there, which is not something MLS can offer. But that's one of the big things you hear from players that come here is like, it's pretty cool that fans are in the stadium when we play. And like, it's a big deal. And then they chant and they got logs and smoke and all this stuff. And it's cool. So
it's a fun place to work.
100 exactly yeah,
it's right. I guess
you went to Hollywood, you tried it, but like it's not bad.
Yeah,
Austin's a good market, you know. You could do stand up there.
Totally. To me it's like a bummer that it didn't really work out for James Sands at Rangers, and who knows, sort of. I watched a couple games and there were some games it just like, you know, he didn't do well. And you know, the leash is fairly short in some of those leagues. But I want to bounce around real quick because I do want to look at some of the upcoming matches. But Atlanta United, where I would say arguably that was the biggest U.S. Open Cup upset They lost to Memphis 901. You know who the owner of Memphis 901 FC is? Tim Howard. Also goalkeeper Bill Hamid, right?
Yeah.
He's obviously just signed for Memphis. But Atlanta United loses. Knighting something. I forgot who scored the goal. The guy.
Philip Goodrum, I think, scored one.
Pickering
scored the other. Goodrum played for Atlanta United too.
Okay.
A nice little comeback for him, and he like. I'm not 100% on these numbers. He was like top three in scoring last year in USL.
Mm-hmm.
He rocks a mullet.
Okay.
Like a little undersized American center forward who rocks a mullet and just scores bangers. He's a vibe.
Pickering was the guy. His name, Knight Pickering.
Mm-hmm.
Scored a great goal.
Crazy goal.
Just a cross, and he got the volley just like at a weird angle,
yeah.
and hit it into the top corner.
Placed it.
But the how disappointing, because I've seen some fans saying like this is one of the more humiliating results for Atlanta United, because I mean, look, there's been a lot of Atlanta United fans been quite vocal about, mm-hmm. they're not fans of Carlos Bocanegra. They don't like the direction of the club. I think the hiring of Garth Lagerwey was, I think, calmed a lot of those people because obviously with the level of success that he's bringing to the club. But this is, I mean, look, just losing to any USL team as an NYCFC fan, we've lost the Cosmos and a couple other that have not been great. But what do you think this means for Atlanta United? Is this a big deal? They've won US Open Cup before.
Yeah, I don't know that it's a huge deal. They played at Kennesaw. They kind of like relegated themselves a little. I think the big part is, I don't believe Atlanta is Shield contenders at all. I'd be surprised if they're MLS Cup contenders. This is a place to get a trophy.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. For Orlando last year, it was a successful season because they won US Open Cup. They were the last seed in the Eastern Conference and lost in the first round of the playoffs, and yet their year was successful. So I just think it's dangerous for a club like that to take yourself out of a competition early that you could sort of muddle your way through, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, we're in a quarterfinal, and League Cup's been added, so there's another tournament that you could win,
uh-huh.
you can be a part of. But I think that's dangerous for a group where it's unusual for someone to take over the sporting side of any sports team, soccer or non-soccer, and not select the GM or coach below them. And so for Atlanta, if you're Pineda and Bocanegra, you will have started this year in an awkward spot.
Yeah.
Because Garth Lagerwey has come in, but you're already in a contract. You're basically being assessed this whole time.
Yeah.
And that's not the assessment you would like to come out of that.
The performance review, that's going to come up.
right. Yeah. So it looks like you lost in US Open Cup this year.
I
took 16 sick days. So
must have been an oversight. I don't know how that happened.
Right. I left it to my assistant. My assistant actually was the one who blew that. So that one's tough. Cool for Memphis 901, by the way. Really successful last year in USL. They play in a baseball stadium, but they've gotten some good crowds there. And I think that's one of those markets where you're like, yeah, this should be a USL market, right? They don't have the full complement of pro sports teams. It's a good city, good culture, like all that type of stuff. So that's pretty cool for them. There was a couple really fun ones in Open Cup. There was a couple fun matchups. Monterey Bay beat San Jose
as well
out in California. And that's a team that they've different entities. Basically, Frank Gallup's run like three USL championship teams out in the Bay Area that have all collapsed and then come back 2 years later as other teams. So like it was Fresno. Now it's Monterey Bay.
Just a new LLC.
Yeah, pretty much. Our restaurant has closed, reopened with the same text, same coloring, same menu, but new name.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, that's the move.
Giuliani's versus Grimaldi's on that one. So yeah, that's kind of what it feels like. But so that was cool. And this tournament's the best.
Yeah.
It should all be lower division versus higher division. There should not be same division teams playing each other until you can't avoid it anymore.
Yeah.
So if you go right here, New Mexico beat Phoenix.
Right.
Do we not want to see New Mexico and Phoenix play MLS teams?
Yeah. I mean, it's
brutal. But the Colorado Hailstorm scored again. All hail the Hailstorm.
The other one that was also wild, Miami FC against Inter Miami.
Which was cool.
Which was wild. And Inter Miami ended up winning in penalties. But they.
Kamal Miller scored his penalty to win it, final one. He just joined the team like 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't even get to the goalie to celebrate because his shot ended it.
Yeah.
He was already in his dance.
He did a gritty,
which felt early. To like, I feel like, no, like when you hit a winning penalty, you don't celebrate penalties like goals. I get he's a defender.
Yeah.
But like it's a PK shootout, bro. Like they started you 8 yards away from the goal. Like you should score. And he celebrated the gritty before he even like was at a teammate. And I love Kamal. Me and Kamal go back. Great guy. Come on, Kamal. Celebrate with your team, yeah. Then do a dance for the
camera. He's basically in the 6 yard box grittying. Yeah. It's very close. But
I was like, okay.
All right. So there's a couple matchups coming up, and I want to make sure we want to introduce this and incorporate this into the show because obviously DraftKings is one of the partners of obviously the Cooligans and Meadowlark Media. But I'm not an avid bettor, right? Is that how to say it?
Gambler would be the term.
But our producer, Miguelito, is. He regularly bets on MLS matches. And one thing I've always heard about MLS matches in general is that it's just such a wildly unpredictable league that I don't know if that is advantageous for people who...
Not really.
Like,
that was great honesty out the gate.
Because you would think that because you know more about MLS than maybe just any one gambling that just wanted to gamble on this league. But... you bet on some games. Is there any games that you are particularly interested this weekend?
I got one for this weekend that I really like. My big thing for MLS, my strategy, is find a team that's on the road that's better than the team they're playing at home. Because maybe it's just our friends at DraftKings. They tend to give a big, you know, value play to home field advantage, right?
Which is correct.
Yeah, I think so too.
Like, MLS historically is the most home-heavy league in the world.
Okay, I honestly didn't know the numbers on that, but it makes sense then why they would do that. So the one I really like this weekend is Seattle Sounders at RSL. Sounders are currently plus 155 on the money line, which is pretty tremendous value for our friends who, you know, are not the biggest gamblers. If you throw down $10, you're winning $15.50 on that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I like Sounders. RSL has had a really tough start to the season. Sounders look like, you know, they're not the best. They can score some goals. Jordan Morris has looked okay.
They're a good road team to pick.
Yeah.
Because Seattle can adjust their game.
Except if you're playing Portland Timbers.
Yeah, obviously. That one I would avoid. No, that's a good one, though.
Okay.
And no. I like that method of, so like I said, MLS is home heavy because the distances, the different atmospheres, like Arsenal goes up to Manchester City. It's not altitude change, right? So you look at Vancouver having to fly to Miami.
Yeah.
That's like all of Europe. So that's why it's so home heavy is the surfaces are different, the atmospheres are different, and the travel is so heavy that it hurts. Like it impacts players.
If you're playing in a baseball stadium, that's also seems to be a thing.
Yeah.
Does DraftKings incorporate
on
that
on a legally sized field?
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
All right.
Allegedly.
Glenn Crooks has walked has literally walked the pitch. It seems like
shout out Glenn Crooks.
Every week there seems to be a manager that complains about.
They can't believe it. I promise you, I get texts every other week from a front office person sitting in Yankee Stadium saying, no way. No, and they think because I live in New York that I measure the field every week. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know what to tell you.
The one place that I've actually seen the field margins be incorrect was Toronto against Montreal. Yeah. I was at that game.
Were you at that game?
I was at that game.
That's a legendary MLS moment.
And I'm like, why is this game taking so long to begin?
25 minutes.
And then I see the guys repaint the lines on the field.
Amazing.
And I'm like, bro, are you complaining about the baseball stadium?
My friend texted me that night. He goes, tonight was the night MLS became legal. It was amazing. And then the game was absurd. The whole series was absurd.
Well, no, it was an absolutely wild game. So, so shout out to DraftKings. I'm learning too. So, we don't talk about gambling too much on the show, but it's something I want to learn.
Now that you have a kid, it's a good place to expand your world into.
Exactly. I'm going to open an account
for
Mateo.
You have more money just laying around. So, you should
use
it.
No, but I have this, I don't know if it's just this arrogance. I'm like, I know MLS. I'm gonna be better at this than anybody else.
I don't know what your experience has been, but for me, when I do it, not on MLS, but other stuff, it's like, yeah, I'm going to sit in and watch this game. It's fun. Yeah. You throw a couple bucks out, and now you're like standing really up, like, put Eber in. Why is Eber not in?
Luis Diaz, how did you not see
exactly, yeah. Damn. It gets a little blood flowing.
Yeah.
Okay. Just say you got to invest a little bit more, you know, into this league. All right, everybody. David Goss, thank you so much for joining us again. We appreciate
Can
it.
I take this one to wear? You got another one?
Going to stretch it out just a little bit. Let everybody know where they can find you.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at Empire Gas. My last name, G-A-S-S, pronounced Goss, but we got to get into an Ellis Island thing. It's a whole nother monster. So, yeah, you can find me on Twitter there. I'm on Instagram as well. You guys do a really good job cutting stuff and posting it. It's more active than I am, so I appreciate that.
Happy to send you the clips. You know, our editor's making you look good.
It looks great. It looks better than anything else I do. So you can find me there. I host Extra Time at MLS twice a week. I call games, whatever else. So, yeah, hit me up on Twitter and just... You know, tell me what you're watching, and I'll probably be watching
Let's
it, too.
Let's go. Absolute legend of the game. David, thank you so much for coming through. Subbing for Alexis. Alexis, we'll be back next week. It's also our birthdays. Both of our birthdays. Yeah, my birthday's on Sundays. Alexis is on Monday.
Are you guys brothers? Is that how that works?
Is that like twins?
I guess you guys are a good pair because you're the same astrological thing.
Exactly. I mean, you know how deeply I believe in that stuff. Yeah. Producer Miguelito, thank you. As always, we will be back next week, obviously celebrating our birthdays and talking. I get to talk to Alexis face to face and make fun of him about his the terrible team and also my terrible team. So we'll connect on that. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. We appreciate it.
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
Now's the time to start your next adventure behind the wheel of an exciting new Toyota hybrid. With the largest lineup of hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and electrified vehicles to choose from, Toyota has the one for you. Every new Toyota hybrid comes with Toyota Care 2-year complimentary scheduled maintenance, an exclusive hybrid battery warranty, and Toyota's legendary quality and reliability. Visit your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places. See your local Toyota dealer for hybrid battery warranty details.